You recognise that stuff,
yes.
Oh dear, that's a bit of a sad sign, isn't it? Right. Complan. What's important about complan?
It's a complete food.
It's a complete food. There's only one ingredient missing. What's the ingredient that's missing?
Water.
Yes, it contains protein, contains carbohydrates, contains fats, and it also contains vitamins and minerals. Right, put it all together and we can keep you going. Right? Right. Now then. Right. A good steak would be an alternative, of course. Maybe not. Now then, the reason I've brought that in is because I want to talk this morning about the verse that Jesus says of himself, I am the bread of life. Yeah? Jesus contains all the essential ingredients for your spiritual life and your earthly life as well. Right? He is the ultimate complan. Yeah? But you'll see what I'm getting at. Let's have a look at our next one in a moment. Yeah? It all goes back to this. As a food scientist, I worked in industry for several years, quite a few years. I would have been amazed to see what this manna, as it was called, it was given to the Israelites in the wilderness. It must have been a version of complan. Yeah? Because it contained everything that they needed to last them for 40 years and to keep them healthy for 40 years. Yeah? But the people of Israel called the bread manna. I don't suppose many of you know much Hebrew, but the word manna means what is it?
Yes.
Right? They saw this stuff, they thought, what is it? And that's what they called it, manna. Yeah? Right? It's white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Or complan, as the case may be. Yeah? Right. And then there's one more verse that really comes in really rather marvellously. God, it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Amazing lesson there. Jesus used that as a defense against the devil, if you remember the temptations Jesus had. But that verse is saying something really important. There's more to life than food. Yeah? There's more to your life than just the physical. There's the spiritual side as well. So that's an amazing verse, talking about the manna. God gave them manna. What did he do with the manna? It was that they could gather it 6 days a week. Yeah. They could get double the amount on the seventh, on the sixth day, and it would keep. But if they tried that any other day, it went foul, right? What's the lesson that God was giving them of giving them manna each day? A dependence, helping them to trust God for the next day, right? It's all about living. Ongoing living, yeah, it's not just one day, it's all day, right? And that's what we're going to be seeing with what Jesus means when he says he's the bread of life for us as well. Next slide, please. Right, so, we come to the situation, it was the day after the feeding of the 5,000. There's the artist's impression of all those great number of people on the hillside being fed by the disciples. And that's the Sea of Galilee, and we're looking from the north down the coast. And Jesus and his disciples, I'm assuming this is the correct direction, there are alternatives, but this makes more sense. They sail from the north edge down there to Capernaum. That's where they're heading for. Right? The disciples went down there in the boat. Jesus didn't. What did Jesus do? He walked there, but he took the short route across the water. Yes? Yeah? And so that's what happened. On the western side of the Lake of Galilee, that's where Jesus walked. We'll see some more pictures of where Jesus was as well in a moment. Next slide, please. Right, here we are. Once the crowd realised that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, where they were, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Now then, this verse here, at the end of this passage we're looking at, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. That is the synagogue in Capernaum. Not a lot left of it, of course, at the moment. But Jesus stood there teaching the people, which is what we're going to hear today, alright? So, welcome to Capernaum. See what Jesus is going to tell us. Next slide, please. Right. Here you are. Thought that picture would sort of sum up what it's about. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them, very truly I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. So why have they turned up? For the next free lunch, isn't it? We're only here for the beer. Could have been a good way of putting it for him, wouldn't it? Yeah? But Jesus says something really significant there. He says, You didn't come, you come to get your food, rather than seeing it as signs. What Jesus did wasn't just feed them, it was meant to be a sign. What's the sign? That he's the provider. He's the one that can minister to people's needs. Right? That was the pick, that was what they were meant to get. All they got were sandwiches. They didn't get the message. Are you getting the message? Hope so. Because you've not got any sandwiches. Telling you. Right. Next one, please. Right. Jesus says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Don't work for food that spoils. There's a picture of Ron dealing with the snails and the slugs in his garden. He's going for the, you know, the kung fu version of dealing with slugs. Yeah, it's food that spoils. Yeah, we know that, didn't we, already, right? Jesus says, don't just go for the stuff that's the present, the things that are now. What you need to do is go for the stuff that gives you eternal life, right? And he says, it's which the Son of Man will give you. Now, you know who the Son of Man is, don't you? Jesus. It's his name as Messiah. Son of Man means Messiah, right? That's what he's calling himself, right? Okay? And he says, on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Jesus is authorized. That's what he's getting at. He's the one that's been appointed by God the Father to be the one that brings the blessings. And let me tell you, dear friends, there is nobody else that can do that. Peter, later on in the Acts of the Apostles, there is no other name given amongst men, not Buddha, not Allah, not anybody, not Muhammad, nobody, not you name them, Confucius, none of them, one name, Jesus. Right? There is no other name given amongst men by which we can be saved. But the good news is, all kinds of people can be saved if they turn to Jesus. Yes. So, he's the one that's authorized. Next slide, please. They asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Well, they got the message that, you know, it's not just about what you eat, it's about life, eternal life, quality of life. So they say, what have we got to do? Right? They are in what we call work mode. You've got to do something. That's human, isn't it? What do you do to get life? Right? And the answer is, nothing. You can't do it. There's nothing to do to get life. What should you do? Well, next answer is, comes this one. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, believe in the one he has sent. Right? You've got to believe. That's all it takes. All? Yes. The problem with believing is, you can't do anything yourself. So you can't contribute to your salvation, you can't contribute to eternal life. It's a gift from God. And the problem with receiving gifts, I bet you've done this yourself. Somebody comes along with a nice, big, shiny gift for you, and what do you feel? You feel thankful, grateful, and then you feel obliged.
Yeah,
got to give them back. Yeah. It's by your round, eh? Yeah? That's the problem. God says it's free, I've given it to you, and you think, well, I've got to do something to sort of pay off the debt of it, sort of thing. God says, no way. You can't do it. I don't want it. It's all available in what I'm giving. So it's to believe in the one he says. And notice it's not just saying, I believe that the moon is made of green cheese. Yeah. I don't actually, but you know what I mean. Yeah. It's not just about believing, it's believing in. There's a big difference between, I believe the Queen. Yeah? I believe she's the Queen, yeah? But do I believe in her? Am I trusting in her? No. Jesus, when he says, to use the phrase, to believe in means you put your trust in something. Let me give you a lovely example. I heard this many years ago about a missionary trying to translate the Bible into the community's language. It was some tribal community. Yeah? And he's figuring out how to translate that little verse in John's Gospel. Yeah, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, same phrase, whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have eternal life. Right? That's what he was trying to translate. And he couldn't get the right word for believing. He wanted that word to make it really obvious, you know. Anyway, one of the village elders comes in, and he's in his little hut doing his translation work, and there's a spare chair. And the elder, rather than sitting on it, leaned on it, you know. He leaned on the chair, and he was at a moment of insight. He said to the elder, he said, what's the word for what you're doing? Leaning on it. So if it goes, you're down. Right? That sort of leaning. Not I believe there's a chair there, but I believe in the chair. I'm leaning on it, yeah? So that's the point. He was getting, that you got the word of God. And Jesus is saying, that's what faith is about. It's not just believing there's a God. The devil does that, you know. Yeah? The devil isn't an atheist. Right? He believes in God, but he doesn't believe in God. Like you're supposed to. Yes? So it's believe, that's the word that God wants, to trust in Jesus. Right, next step, please. So they asked him, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe it? Different words. We believe, you know. Right? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread to eat. So really they're coming in, yeah? Prove it, you know. You say you're the Messiah, you're God's son, you know. Well, I mean, feeding 5,000 small fry. Moses fed a multitude, didn't he? Right, so you're up the game compared to Moses. Right? That's really what they're saying is, you know, prove it. Isn't that sad? Right? Jesus has just done these amazing and astounding things in front of their eyes. They didn't get the signs, they got the food. Problem. Yes. Next slide, please. Right. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Right, so he answers two questions for them. You're all so keen about Moses. It wasn't Moses that gave them the bread. Was it? No. It was God that used Moses to tell them the bread was coming. But God gave them the bread. Okay, that was one of the answers. And then the other he says, but that wasn't the real bread. The real, the true bread is the one that God sent from heaven. And you know who that is? Jesus. Jesus. Yes, right. Right, he gives life to the world. Next slide, please. Right. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Right? Always give us this. They're still on about food, you know. Yeah. Just like that lady at the well, you know. Jesus says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. She says, oh, I'll have that. Save me walking backwards and forwards. Nothing to do with walking. Right? Same with this. Nothing to do with the food stuff. It's all about a relationship with God. Right? But they say, go, give us this bread. Yes, we'll have it. Right, so Jesus says, yeah, next one. He says, do you want your bread? This is it. Next, please. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Right. I'm the bread of life. Now, that's a fantastic phrase, isn't it? Yes? What does it mean? The bread of life. Well, that's a Jewish phrase, really. The bread of life is a Jewish phrase. It means the bread that gives life. Okay? I'm the bread, the source of life. Another way of putting it, yeah? I'm the one that gives life. But there's another thing about bread, which is one of the important things that struck me this week as I've been thinking about this passage. And it's that bread is to keep you going day by day, isn't it? It's not just a one-off thing. And Jesus is saying, I'm the bread of life. If you want to live, and you want to keep on living, it's me you need to come to. Right? That's what he's getting at, yes? Right? And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Obviously, that harks back to that woman at the well in Samaria, remember? Same idea. Thirsty means you've got that
longing,
not satisfied. If you come to Jesus, satisfied. Right? So are you all satisfied people? Yeah, miserable lot. Well, satisfied, yes, and yet not satisfied. You know, you can have Jesus in your heart and yet long for more. I want to see Jesus. I want to be with him. That's real ultimate satisfaction. But I know I've got a good bit of what's coming, which is good to know, eh? Right, okay, let's move on. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. Do you know who that is?
He was
ordained in York. He was the Archbishop, or the Bishop of Durham. Dr. David Jenkins. Yes. Right? What's he known as? He's called the unbelieving bishop. He's dead now. Do you know? I fear. This man, what would he say when he met virgin-born, resurrected Jesus? Because he denied both of those.
Absolutely.
Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. Yeah? He was just like the rest of us. Afraid not. And Jesus died and that was the end of the game. No, he rose again. He denied all that. Now, I'll give you credit, if you want credit for it. Yeah? He said outwards, what an awful lot of them, I think, thought inwards. Yeah. But, sad, isn't it? Yeah, you can come in religious. I mean, Jesus was talking to people who were all religious people, some of them, you know.
So right? Not get to heaven.
He's not going to heaven. But if he stayed with what he believed when he died, yeah? Right? It's sad, isn't it? It's tragic. Yeah. And the sad that, and I tell you this, I fear for him, and the reason I fear is this. It wasn't just his own personal loss that was bad, but the damage he did to other people and their faith was appalling, right? He's going to have to be held responsible for that as well. Not good. So Jesus is saying to these people, I've told you, you've seen me, but you don't believe me. That's the problem. Yeah. Why not? Well, there's lots of reasons, but Jesus gives us one in a moment. Next one, please. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. It's amazing, isn't it? Do you know, if you come to Jesus, do you know, what? There's lots of reasons why, yes. What is Jesus getting at there? If you come to Jesus, he said it's because Father gave you to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Long before the world was made, you were on the list. That's astounding. I mean, I don't understand it. But there's, the other side of the coin is you're responsible for the choices you make. You make decisions. You say, I will believe in Jesus. Yeah, that's good. Right? But back of all of that, he says, all the Father's given me will come to me. And this is the good bit. Don't worry about whether the Father's given you to Jesus. Yeah, I can prove he has if you do the second bit. If you come to Jesus, I can guarantee you, Father's given you. Right?
Yeah.
And when Jesus accepts you, what's he going to do? I've got sheep there because it's a nice picture. I will never drive away. That sounds good to me. Right? What? When I make mistakes, when I let you down, Lord, when I failed and failed and failed again, you're not going to drive me away? No. Right? Is that amazing?
Yes.
That's a good shepherd. We're going to come to that next time, in future days. We're not doing I am the Good Shepherd today. It's I am the Bread. Next then, please. Yeah? Right. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. How about that? Right? Jesus is not in the business of losing his people. Wonderful, yeah? You can't get a better guarantee than that. 100% secure and safe in Jesus. Right? And then he makes a lovely, wonderful promise. But I won't lose them. I'll raise them up at the last day. Wow. What about that? What's that mean?
Heaven.
No, it doesn't mean heaven.
Oh,
no. It means there's a day coming when it's going to be the last day. Right? I can't tell you when it is. Right? But God knows it. Right? He knows what the last day is. When time runs out, when God says, that's it, stop. And time finishes, that's the last day. Right? And what happens on the last day? There's a judgment. Well, yes, I mean, if we're alive, yeah? But what happens on the last day? He's going to? It's called resurrection, yes? What does resurrection mean? New lives, new bodies, new spirit. Well, your transformed spirit joined to our. Your new body, right? Resurrection body. No aches, creaks, groans and pains then, dear friends. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So Jesus says, I'll raise them up. That's his promise. Yeah. At the end of time, Jesus is going to raise you up. He won't lose you. That's good to know. Isn't it? Because you could be, you say, well, I'm going to die. That's me done for. No, it isn't. Right? Jesus says, I'm going to take your spirit to be with me, but the body... Don't worry, I'll sort that one out. You get a brand new job. Is that wonderful, eh? Streamlined, smooth, powerful. Brilliant. Excellent. Excellent, please. Right.
Last forever.
And it will last forever, yes. For my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So he's repeating that. But he's making it a rather interesting phrase. I've got the last day with the clocks, just time's finished now, right? But he says, whoever looks at the Son and believes in him, yeah? It's the same word, it's the same sense he's talking about. He's going to use another word in a moment. Instead of saying believe, he's going to say eat and drink. But it's the same idea he's trying to convey to us in different ways. Because, you know, you get it in stereo, so it sticks somewhere. So, to look to the Son. What's to look to someone? You find those ideas in the Psalms. As the child looks to the mother for food. Depending. Trusting. Yes? Same idea. Right? Means believing. But not just believing about. but believing in. You got it?
Yeah.
Good. Right, next one, please. Right. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Right? How about that? They're saying, it's, he can't be the Messiah. We know where he's come from. Eh? We know all about Jesus. They don't know anything about Jesus. That's the problem. They call this Joseph his father. He's the son of Joseph. Yes, he is legally the son of Joseph. But they don't know about Bethlehem, do they? Right? That's one of the things. And we know his mom. We know all about him because we've got him taped. So he can't be the Messiah. How wrong can you be? Brothers and sisters, let this be a warning to all of us. Yes, the danger of jumping to conclusions with a minimum amount of facts. Right. They're prejudiced, yeah. So they hear, really, Jesus? You really come down from heaven? That's what he, because that's what they understand him. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They know he's talking about himself. But they don't believe it. Right, next please. Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. Now this is all very interesting theology, if you like it, Jim. He says this, stop your grumbling for the starters. But no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. Isn't that interesting? Again, there's a mystery in this. He's saying is that if you've come to Jesus, if you put your trust in Jesus, don't think you're so smart and clever. God was doing something in your heart at the time as well. He's drawing you to Jesus. You know, gently and yet wonderfully causing you to look to Jesus. Is that fantastic? Right? So he says, I've got the magnet there, drawing, you know? Mm-hmm. Yes, you're the piece of metal that God's drawing to Jesus, yes, to the magnets, yes. And he says, interestingly, how God draws them, he says, it's written in your prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. Now that was a real challenge because they thought they believed in God. They believed about God, but they didn't trust God. And the problem was, he says, anybody who's been taught by God, what's the result? Is that they learn about Jesus, his son, and they're drawn to Jesus. So a real genuine work of God always leads you to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Great. Next one, please. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. How about that? He said, okay, you can't see God. Only one's seen God. And you know who he is?
Jesus.
Yes. That's a big claim, isn't it? Yeah. But he says, no one's seen God, but you can know him. Isn't that wonderful? You can know him even if you haven't seen him. But the good news is, when you do know him, you will see him eventually.
Yeah.
That's good, eh? But he says, I tell you the truth, really. The one who believes in me has eternal life. Not will have, has. It starts now. Yes? And if it starts now, what does it need? It needs feeding. Yes? Eternal life needs feeding. Yeah? Keep it going. Bless it. Wonderful. Right, so, next please. I am the bread of life. You're getting it loud and clear, I hope, yes? I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. So he's moving away from the word believe to the idea of eating, yes? Got the idea, that's what we're moving. He says, I'm the bread of life, I'm the one. And he says, the interesting thing is that the manna didn't give them eternal life. Just kept them going physically. Yeah, they ate the manna, but what happens? These are all graves in the desert, by the way.
Yeah.
The picture, yes? Yeah. All of them died. Right? Some of them had eternal life. And they died, but they're meant to be with the Lord. Yes, quite a lot of them didn't, unfortunately. But he says, there's the bread that comes down from heaven, which one may eat and not die. What does he mean by eat? Believe. Yes, trust him. That's what eating's about. But what's the important thing about eating is it becomes part of you. That's what trusting's about. It becomes part of you. Right? That's the important. Next one, please. He's the living bread, yes. That's the phrase, living bread, the bread that gives life. Yes, as well as being the one that is alive. Right? Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh, it's getting interesting language he's using now. But that verse is the key verse to understand the passage. That's why I put the little key there. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. What does he mean? It's all very cryptic stuff, isn't it? This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He's saying, my body is going to be part of the means by which you can receive life. It's not eating him, it's believing in him and what he's done. Yes? And what's he going to do? Giving his flesh. He's going to die on a cross for your sins. That's what he means by giving his flesh. Right? And we have to believe in him. Yes? And as he does that, he will give life to the world. Right? It's available for everybody. Present and believe that receive it. Next slide, please. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're in still food mode, aren't they? They just cannot get out of food mode. Right? So when he says, you eat my flesh, of course they think, well, that's not very good. Cannibals. Of course, it's totally anti-Jewish to start eating flesh and blood. It's not good. So Jesus didn't mean that. He should have got that. He didn't mean that, but they're food thief, foodies, you see, thinking of food. We're not cannibals. No, we are. Can he give us his flesh to eat? Absolutely disgusting. Yes, next please. Right. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. That sounds seriously cannibal stuff, doesn't it? But if you know he's not talking natural stuff, then it makes sense that they don't get it, of course. What does he mean? I've got a mirror there, just to sort of illustrate the point. Jesus is using mirror words. That's what I mean is, who's the real person there? The one on the left or the one on the right?
The one on the left.
You sure? Right? Who's the real person? The one on the left or the one on the right? It's the one on the left. You see the right as a reflection. Yes? Looks real. Yeah? But it's not real. It's a reflection. It's an image. And Jesus is using literal words to convey a spiritual meaning. Yes? So, he's not talking about literal flesh and literal blood. But he's talking about what the flesh and the blood are going to convey is him giving his life, paying the ransom with his own precious blood. That's the physical bit. But the believing is the eating. You've got to believe him. Right? What does eat and drink mean? It means to take on board, to believe, to trust. And that's really important. He says, if you don't believe, not just in me as the person, but in what I'm doing, in giving my life for you. That's what he's on about. To give his life means he's paid the price for your sin. And as you understand that, and you believe that, you receive eternal life. Good news. That is the good news, yes? So, to eat and to drink means to believe and to trust. But, did they get it?
No, not yet.
Next please. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Now, Jesus uses the word, John in his Gospel, where this comes from, uses the word remain. It's one of his favourite words that Jesus obviously used. Right? You remember, we're not looking at this today, but we'll come to it. I am the vine, Jesus says.
That's not your one, is it? No,
it's not mine, no. Not wrong colour, yes. I am the vine, you're the branches. Whoever, the old word is abide. But the word means remain, to stay, to connect. Yes. Right? And Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me. If you are trusting him, if you're believing in what he's done, then you're joined to him. You remain in him. There's a contact. There's a power line, yes? To use another sort of natural illustration, yes? You've got a Hoover at home? No. If you have a Hoover, and there's a bit of a mess on the floor, and you get your Hoover out and you start moving the Hoover around, will it do any good?
Not in there.
What does it mean?
Plug in.
It means plugging in. The power's there. The power's there, no problem. Eh? Put your fingers in, you'll find out the power's there. Right? But put the plug in, and you get the power from there to the Hoover. And he's saying is, the power's available, God gives life. God is life, but if you want to have it, you've got to connect. Remain in me by eating my bread, drinking my blood, believing in who I am and what I've done. Then you get connected. Power, next please. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. I haven't really time to deal with you. Take these verses home and meditate on them. The living Father, that phrase doesn't turn up anywhere else in the Bible. What does he mean by the living Father? He's saying his God is the source of life. Yes. If you want to know what life's about, God is it. He's the living Father, the one who is alive and can give life. And he says, the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father. Jesus' life is sustained by his relationship with his Father. Yes? Mm-hmm. Right? And in the same parallel way, in some ways, any parallel, if God and the Son are joined in life, you join to the Son, you connect to the life too. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying is, so the one who feeds on me, now we're into feeding again. Right? What does he mean by feed? Believe in him. Yes. The one who feeds, but it's more than believing in him. When I've done those hours, you see, it's ongoing. Feeds is like the manna, every day, honouring Jesus. How's your relationship with Jesus? I hope this isn't a once a week business for you, dear friends. Yeah? It's a day by day relationship with God, and it will deepen and grow, and you just know God's with you as that goes on, right? So it's daily manna. That's what we need, right? Not once a week game. This is serious. Life. That's what it's about. Right. And whoever feeds on me will live because of me. Jesus is your life. Wonderful. Next one, please. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So it's recapping again, yeah? The manna kept them going physically, but they all died. The living bread will give you eternal life. Your body may die, but you're going to last forever. I'm going to live forever. You know that song, don't you?
Yes.
I'm going to live forever. Well, they've all gone. Did you know that? The ones that sang it, just about, yeah? They've all gone. Right? But if you've got Jesus, you've got it. You really got it. That's it. Yes. Next one, please. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. This is my final bit, yes? You can have eternal life. There are three things, yeah? To have eternal life. Yes? Number one, you believe he gave his life as the sacrifice for your sins. That's his flesh and his blood given, yes? You believe that he gave his life as a sacrifice for your sins. Well, there's a prior question to that. Do you believe that you were a sinner?
Yes.
I mean, you probably say, I know, I make mistakes like everybody else. But what do I mean by a sinner? I mean that you've offended God.
Yeah.
You've broken his laws. You're in big trouble. Yeah, that's what being a sinner is about, yes? And God says, I'll forgive you if you put your trust in my Son. He's paid the price. I'm willing to accept his price if you put your trust in him. So that's number one. Number two, you need to receive him into your life. Plug in, dear friends. Receive him into your life by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit invites him into your heart and your life. He brings the connection. Wonderful. And then depend on him daily to maintain that life within you. Yes, it's not a 5-minute wonder, you know? It's all the way, all the journey with Jesus. Yes. And we depend on him day by day. That's what God gave them the manna for. It was to teach them that man does not live by bread alone, but by trusting God. That enables you to keep on going. And you need that, dear friends. I encourage you, read your Bibles, pray, ask God to help you each day. That's important. It may seem pretty basic, may seem a bit boring, perhaps, as you think about it, but friends, it can be an adventure.
Dennis.
It should be, yes.
Yeah, just a little question. Yesterday I was at the top of the ladder doing my curtain. Right, and I kept lifting the bar and I got stuck up there and I prayed and I said, oh, please God, send somebody to help me.
Yes.
And I opened my eyes and the girl next door was standing outside my window.
Was she? Oh, there you go.
Oh, I said, come
nice.
In.
Yeah. Well, if I'd have been the Lord, Jean, I would have said, you got yourself there.
Now you're going to be the dad.
But I've got the Lord. You need to know.
Yes.
But we have to depend on Him daily. That's the wonderful thing. Yes. Trust in the Lord. Yes. Friends, that's what Jesus, I am the bread of life. Hope you get the feast from Jesus day by day. Because He is the source of life. Yes. Wonderful. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all your mercies to us. Lord, you do far more than we ever deserve, Lord. We could not earn any of these wonderful blessings that you give us. And yet you pour them out upon us. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to believe you, Lord, and believe in you. Lord, to know that what you've done for us, Lord, can't be done by anybody else. It's available to all of us. We don't have to be smart. We don't have to be, Lord, we don't have to be rich. We don't have to be anything. The world counts important. Lord, simply trusting you is the most wonderful thing. Lord, thank you as we do that. We know that you, Father, have drawn us to Jesus. Lord, help us to feast on you, to eat and be satisfied in you, Lord, and discover, Lord, that life with you is a wonderful adventure. Lord, a great journey that leads on forever and ever and gets better the more we begin to see and understand. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love and mercies. Help us to trust in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.